another jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Boy, my mind's racing this morning. My mind is racing this morning. Thanks for joining us here today. Got a lot of stuff bubbling up inside of me. Got a great show yesterday. If you missed it, did the show on the Holy Ghost yesterday. I'm going to do another show today. I'm going to try to pull this thing together a little bit. A lot going on. It's always a lot going on. I want to say right up front, two things I want to say up front because I always forget to say them. Number one, thanks for the emails. I read them all. I try to answer them all. Some are long. Takes me a while to get back. I've got a couple emails that I've read, and they've penetrated me deeply, and I haven't responded to them yet because I'm trying to figure out how to respond. I don't want to. It's a great burden for me, folks. I'm going to tell you that. And I've shared with the guys before we went on the air. I saw more clearly than I've seen. I've seen it pretty clearly too before this, but I see more clearly now the need for discipleship. Oh my goodness, discipleship for men in particular, because if we don't have good discipleship, we end up out in la la land without good discipleship. And unfortunately, some people are in church and they're not getting good discipleship in church. Just telling it like it is, you're not getting good discipleship in your church. Been taught stuff's not even true. Been taught stuff's not even important. And then if you're not in a church, then you're getting discipleship that's unbalanced. And you tend to find yourself without good fellowship and good discipleship. You find yourself rolling down a path and you can't see the forest for the trees. You're stuck in a box. So discipleship, the thing that's good about the queue, why this is like, in my opinion, no other show that's out there, is your opinion matters here. And you have a right to say whatever you want to say here. We're not going to laugh at you. We're not going to beat you over the head. We're going to try to help you develop and strengthen your gifts. That's what we want to do. Because God gave every one of us a gift. They don't all look the same, but they are all valuable to what's going on. Yogi Berra, remember Yogi Berra played for that great New York Yankees team through the 50s and 60s. And they always made fun of Yogi, with the names enough, Yogi Berra. That Peter Lawrence was his real name, Peter Lawrence Berra. But they always made fun of Yogi because he just didn't even look like he ought to be playing. But you talk to any of those great Yankee teams. You talk to Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, Elston Howard. I can run down the list of them, man. Ralph Terry, Bobby Richardson, Elston Howard. You run down through that list, and they're all going to tell you something. That Yogi was the glue. And Yogi wasn't the guy that looked like he could do anything, except there was something special about Yogi. And if you weren't careful, when Yogi got hurt and he missed the game, boy, the whole team suffered. And you didn't even appreciate him because he was just always there, always doing his job. There are a lot of Yogi Berras watching this right now, a lot of Yogi Berras. And nobody's ever given you a chance to do anything. In fact, it's even worse than that. You've believed that you can't do anything. It's what they convinced you of. Come into the church, pay your tithes, sit on your butt, and let the professional Christians do everything. And you're sitting there like an old warthog just wasting away in your life and can't figure out what the hell's going on. I'm sorry if hell makes you uncomfortable. I'm sorry. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. If you're born again, the Spirit of God, the very same Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit. The Bible's very clear. God is no respecter of persons. Huh? You ain't special because you a Jew. And you ain't special because you're a pastor. Now, if you're a pastor, there's a little bit more accountability on you, a little bit more responsibility on you. But if you ain't going to do it, pastor, he'll find somebody that'll do it. Because God's no respecter of persons. He'll use Rich or he'll use Lindell. He'll use whoever. That's the greatest, in my heart, it's the greatest disservice the church has done. It's taught men not to be men, taught men not to get involved, taught men that they don't have any power. Taught men that only the professional Christians are the ones that are able to pull it off. And as a result, you just look around. And we go to some of these gay pride parades. We go to that lesbian march in Washington, D.C., and we see the most effeminate weenies, and they're controlling everything, everywhere we go. And no matter who you are, I'm just going to tell you the truth. It happened to me. You're going to get saved, or you do get saved, and you get on fire for the Lord, and you walk into your local church, and you're on fire for Jesus, and you want to start using that name Jesus, and you want to say, we got to go downtown, we got to start witnessing for Jesus, and we got to go do this for Jesus. You do much of that, and it ain't going to be very long, because they're either going to get rid of you, or they're going to domesticate you, because there ain't any room for that in the church. Somebody say amen, just so I know I'm talking to somebody who's listening to me, right? And then once they do get you in there and get you domesticated, they're going to try to turn you into a sissy. I'm just telling you, fellas. And you can pick up this Bible and you can read the whole Old Testament. You read that Old Testament, and I'm going to tell you this. You won't find any sissies in there. Nowhere in that Old Testament. None. Man, they were butt kicker, take names, cut off heads. Thank you, Lord. Let's go do somebody else. All throughout that Old Testament. Then we flip it over into the New Testament and the New Covenant. And what happens then? Well, you know what happens then. Then they become sissified. Then they don't want to make anybody. Then they want to love everybody. I feel it today, okay? Just want you to know that I feel it. And I want to make some clarification as we go here today. I got frustrated. I was up early again this morning. I love to go to YouTube. Lord will give me a topic and I'll search it out. I love to go to YouTube. I typed in Holy Spirit. Went to YouTube. All I found was fluff. I'll say it again. All I found was fluff. People dancing and people talk. I mean, it's just. Hey, guys, girls, listen. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. You don't have to go to church to get the Spirit to operate. Do you get that? You don't have to go to church. The Holy Spirit isn't at your church. The Holy Spirit's in you. Jesus said he was who was with you will be in you. The Bible tells us that I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. Time out. How does Christ live within you? How does that work? Well, it works through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you so much that you're not even you. You're a dead man, and you now are filled with the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. I heard from my buddy Jeff yesterday. I wasn't trying to hammer Jeff in particular. I got on that thing about smoking cigarettes yesterday, and it was a bingo bullseye right at Jeff. He called me yesterday, said, okay, quit beating up on me. How dare any of us, hey, how dare you, sir, sitting right where you are, tell me you don't have the power to say no to porn? Are you kidding me? You're telling me pornography is stronger than the Holy Spirit? What the hell's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? There is no temptation, the scripture says, but that which is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you can withstand. But with the temptation, he will provide a way out. See, every time that porn pops up on your screen, there's a way out. Shut the damn thing off and walk away. There's a way out. And until you begin to realize that you have this power inside of you, oh, not speaking in tongues and not prophesying. We have made the Holy Spirit so just out there somewhere. He's in you. He's the very breath that you breathe. In fact, Jesus, when God formed man out of the dust of the earth, he breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, the very breath that you breathe is the breath of the Holy Spirit. We don't have any concept or any understanding of this. Charismatic church. Now, what does that even mean? Say, well, we go to a spirit-filled church. Oh, as opposed to one where there isn't a spirit? You go to, we go to a, how about this? We go to a half-filled church, half spirit-filled church. Oh, no, we go to a spirit-filled church. Hey, dude, you're the church. You don't go to no spirit-filled church. And if there are such things as spirit-filled church, why isn't everybody in one? Why isn't there any power anywhere? Well, you know why there isn't any power anywhere? Because the people sitting in the pew think the church is supposed to be spirit-filled rather than them. You are the church. You are. I am. Spirit-filled church. Power from on high. Wonder-working power. Not just miracles. Not just the gifts. But the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm in Acts 4. I forgot to say what I was going to say. Folks, listen, we need your help. Because people need help. We need your help because people need help. And I'm going to ask you to do something really, really hard. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. I know it's tough. I know. You say, well, Coach, I watch you every day. I know. Are you subscribed? Because, see, that matters to Google or whoever. That kind of stuff matters. And the more subscribers we get, then when people Google search something, we pop up. And it ain't about me and it ain't about we. Are you a subscriber to our YouTube channel? And why not? And then let me ask you something else. Has it ever entered your mind to share with your friends and say, hey, how about liking this YouTube channel? How about liking this for us? How about joining or whatever it is you do? You click on something, you join it, subscribe to it. I talk a lot about building our downline. Come on, man. Time is wasting on us. When we go to Dallas, Texas, we go down there and we come back with a list of, I don't know, 60, 75 guys on our list who want to be involved. Now, we know they're not all going to get involved, but sure is a good pond to start fishing in. And I continue to be amazed by the number of people who email me, say, Coach, I watch your show every day. And so I always type back, how'd you find it? And you know what they say? I don't know. It popped up. What makes it pop up? Subscribers. Views. See, a lot of you out there can really help us. Some of you are very technologically gifted, and you have the ability to make our views go up. Listen, it isn't about views. I don't care, because this message isn't going to be for everybody anyway. But it's a sifting process, is it not? And so we're trying to hook fish here. And we're trying to hook fish for the kingdom. We're trying to hook male fish in particular. We got a lot of females that watch us, but we're trying to hook male fish. I can only do that with your help. Anybody want to bump in here, jump in here? Don't have to. I just thought maybe the Spirit was moving on somebody.
Well, Dave, it's not just Chad here. Dave, Chad here. It's not just like it on YouTube channels. Yes, we need the folks to subscribe. But also, if you like the show, then put it out on your other social media. You send out other things on there, you know, other videos and everything else. And so let's put this, you know, just ask everybody that has a social media account to, hey, let's push the show out here. Let's reach some other people. That's the main thing.
Twit it or twat it or tweet it, whatever it is that you have to do. And listen, do this also. And rather saying, hey, George, watch this program. I think you'll like this program. And they open it up and it's an hour. Jeez, who's going to watch that? So you feed it to them. Say, hey, George, check this out. Go to the 10-minute mark and watch from the 10-minute mark to the 15-minute mark. Just watch this 5-minute segment. They may do that. I don't know about you. I open up my Facebook. I see a video. It's an hour. Are you kidding me? I ain't got time for that. But now, those of you who are growing, an hour is nothing. Hey, Did you ever walk into the mall? Hang on a second, Rich. Did you ever walk into the mall and then they're giving out free samples? You know, they walk by and you want to try this fudge? Here, try this fudge. And they get you to taste it. Ooh, they're hoping you're going to go buy a big. See, they don't stand out and say, buy this whole big bunch of fudge. They give you a little taste of it and say, ooh, that's good. That's good. We've got to learn to wet the whistle a little bit with it. Can't ask him to watch an hour program. Watch this 5-minute segment and you hook some. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, you know, it's as simple as if you have the Holy Spirit in you, help us get the gospel out. I mean, it is that simple. We all have to work together in with the dwelling of the Holy Spirit to go into the world. This is one avenue. We go to the parades. We go to the clinic. Somebody criticized me about a posting on Facebook, and that's not a good place to post that what I posted. And it's like, I'm supposed to go into the world. There's no better way to get in the world than Facebook.
It is the place, man. It is the place. The place. Now, listen, those of you watching right now, I want you to think about this. By the hundreds out there, you don't miss this show. You find time. Maybe you can't watch it live, but at some time during the day, you watch this show. Now, ask yourself a simple question. How many other people do you know that maybe the same thing would happen to them? How many other people do you know who are maybe so frustrated in their faith they can't find anything? You're never going to know till you feed it to them. You're never going to know. And see, they've convinced you that you're the minority, right? You're the deplorables. No, you're not. No, you're not. Because the Holy Spirit, if somebody's got the Holy Spirit in them, it's going to draw them. It's going to draw them, okay? I want you to know today that the Holy Spirit is a he. And he's a dude.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
Hey, just real quick. Hey, I've got my eyes set on building the downline. I just had a guy over last night that put a storm shelter in for us, and I did exactly what you said. I just kind of said, hey, man, are you concerned about any of the crazy stuff going on in the world? I found out he goes to a church, and so I said, hey, I've got some stuff. Let's get together. I'm going to have you watch a few things I think you'll enjoy. But I'll just let you, you're right on. We all need to build a big downline.
Yep.
And bring people with us. Amen.
It'll grow organically. It will. We got to feed them that truth for sure. So again, let me say it. Chad, what'd you type me here, Chad? Oh, Chad. The Holy Spirit's a dude. And all the angels are dudes. There ain't no lady angels. They're dudes. Okay? And the Holy Spirit isn't an it. The Holy Spirit is a he. It's a real person. And let me think about this a second. And I don't want this to come across as blasphemous. You've picked up a spirit from me. That's why you guys are here. You sense and feel something in me that you want. Right? You do. That is the boldness of the Holy Ghost. And you are drawn to that. And I'll tell you what else happens. Is when you turn off this show and you go out and live your life, this spirit is still on you. It's a transference of spirits. Do you understand that's going on? And it ain't about me and something special about me. But boys, I'm connected into something that is ministering to you guys. And you're plugged into it. And now you find yourself more bold, and you find yourself more courageous, and you're seeing things that you didn't see before. And imagine the things that you would be able to see if you really began to train yourself to hear my sheep, hear my voice and another voice they won't hear. If you train yourself, you'll turn on the O'Reilly factor and you'll watch for 28 seconds because it's all worldly and you can't watch it. I can't watch it. That spirit's coming on you too. That's the magic that's going on, see? That's the magic. Holy Spirit's a dude. And he's righteous. And he's fierce. and at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just at the name of Jesus. Now, isn't it interesting? The Bible doesn't teach us that at the name of Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, God incarnate, the spirit man, God living inside of you, that at the name of Jesus, the Bible doesn't say that you're going to dance around and speak in tongues and wave flags and prophesy. You will, but that's not the Holy Spirit living through you. You know what the Holy Spirit living through you is? Is you shall become witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of, I think it says it here. Can I look down at my Bible a second? The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall become witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea to the uttermost parts of the world. Where is that? Somewhere it's in here. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. You won't be waving flags and speaking in tongues and prophesying. You ought to do all that anyway. But see, that isn't when you're in the Spirit. You're not in the Spirit when you're doing that. You're in the Spirit when you're walking your daily walk and you're being a witness in Jerusalem and Judea, the uttermost parts of the world. It's not something that happens when you go to church and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up and the music's great and, oh, I feel Him. No! The Holy Spirit's indwelling you. Come on! He hates sin. He hates it. He came, what? To convict the world. The law is a schoolmaster that draws us to Christ. He came to convict us of sin. And we don't even speak on His behalf because we're afraid of what people are going to say to us, that we're going to be mean and we're not going to appear to be Christian and we're not going to be loving. Brother, be bold! That's why I like our shirts. Jesus is the judge. He's already made the determination. If He's already told you right from wrong and you're a follower of Jesus, why are you so hesitant to say what He says? You know why people won't come to Christ? There's no fear of the Lord. There's no fear of the Lord. There's no righteousness around them. There's nobody that they see living out their life fully on fire for God. They don't see it anywhere. Why would I want to be one of those?
Dave,
yeah, Dave. I'm catching my breath. Go ahead.
You know, they when they study cults, and we're all afraid of the Christians at the airport and other cult groups, but the one thing they tell you is they demand something from their followers, and that is attractive to the follower. There's a demand. There's a requirement. There's an obligation. There's a duty.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that in the church.
None.
We don't have
that's right.
In Christianity. It's kind of come as you are, and if you want to leave, and no commitment there. It's just kind of do what you want, and you view it differently than I, but that's okay.
Jesus
but
loves you, this
cult,
I know.
Every cult that thrives demands. Now, I'm not supporting of cults, obviously, but it's the concept. The people are attracted when things are demanded of them. And Christianity doesn't demand anything of anybody anymore.
Roger, my last year down at Fairfield Christian Academy, things were going south on us a little bit, a lot of infighting, and well, I don't need to get into the depth of that. We put together, I don't know how we did it, it was Holy Ghost inspired, we put together a team that went undefeated, went 10-0. You know what we called those guys? We called them the Dirty 30. Because we told them there's something special about you, and if we're going to be successful, every one of you are going to have to get down and dirty. It's going to take every one of the Dirty 30. It's good, isn't it? Something was demanded on them. Somebody was counting on them. There wasn't a whole great big bench of guys waiting behind them. You're going to have to step up, and you're going to have to do the job. And you walk into your church. There ain't no, hey, Rich, there ain't no Dirty 30 in the church. Uh-uh. No, there's no Dirty 30s in the church. Because you're not allowed to be. See, you're not allowed to be a Dirty 30 in the church. But I want to encourage you. That ain't the church. It isn't the church. Let me tell you about a Holy Ghost thing that just kind of happens. It's kind of way things flow around the world. Flow in my life anyway. I'm going to go down to Kentucky Mountain Bible College. I'm speaking at their chapel down there on Friday. I'm going to go down Thursday after the show. It's about 4 hours, 4 hour drive down there. And we scheduled a long time ago, maybe three months ago. I don't know. For me to be a chapel speaker at Kentucky Mountain Bible College, Jackson, Tennessee. No, Jackson, Kentucky, sorry. And Pastor David Street, who's on staff down there at Kentucky Mountain Bible College. He's heard me speak a couple times. He's one of us. The students at Kentucky Mountain Bible College, with Tyrell is one of them. They go 2 hours to the abortion clinic in Louisville. They're active. And there's something going on down in Kentucky. Governor Matt Bevin, who's a Christian who met with us, by the way, when we were in Louisville last summer, the governor came and met with Operation Save America, came into the room and met with us. He's committed to ending abortion. He passed a ruling down there to close the last abortion clinic in Kentucky. Close it, violating the law. Well, you know what happens next, right? The lawsuits come and restraining order and all that stuff. And what do you suppose happens? They issued a statement yesterday from David Street at Kentucky Mountain Bible College. And David Street at Kentucky Mountain Bible College asked Governor Bevin to ignore the courts. Ignore them. When's the last time you heard a Christian leader say that? Christian leader with any influence at all, say to the governor, ignore the courts. The courts are wrong. You are right. Ignore them. A Christian leader that did that. Now, what are the odds? That news hit yesterday. What are the odds that I'm going to get to speak at the chapel on Friday? I mean, is it unbelievable? Unbelievable. God is so willing and ready to bless boldness, boys. I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you. I hear you, Lord. Isaiah. Keep your finger in Acts. I didn't forget that, but I just heard the Lord whisper in my ear there. Hey, he lives in me, see? That Holy Spirit lives in me. I heard him say something to me. And he said, hey, coach, do this. Go to Isaiah 6. So I will. Because why? Whatever he says unto me, do it. So there we are in Isaiah 6. You ready? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, males. Each one had six wings, and with two of them he covered his face. With two of them they covered their feet. With two of them they flew. Get the picture? Six wings, two of them cover their eyes, two of them cover their feet, and the two middle ones are flapping. They're just hovering around the throne, waiting to do whatever they need to be done. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved and shook at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Wow! Then said I, Isaiah, woe is me. Hey, Rich, he saw the Lord high lifted up. He thought, oh, man, am I in trouble? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of those male angels, then flew one of those male angels unto me. He had a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs off of the altar. Don't miss this. He reached in with tongs and put it in his hand. Wow. And he laid it upon my mouth. And he said, lo, thou hast touched thy lips, and your sin is taken away, and your sin is purged. Now, don't miss the picture. Isaiah says, dude, I'm in trouble. Oh, my God, I'm in trouble. The angel comes, touches his lips with the coal, purges him of his sin. Now watch this. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Get the picture? It's almost comical if you think about it. The Lord just did this miraculous thing for Isaiah. Cleanses him of all of his sin. Isaiah understands what he saw the Lord in his holiness and understood how he had just been rescued. So the Lord does this great favor for Isaiah. And the Lord kind of tongue-in-cheek says, hey, who shall I send? Who will go for me? Anybody out there? Anybody out there willing to do something for me now? Hey, ain't nobody there but Isaiah. And Isaiah looks around. Man, so I think maybe he's talking to me. Right? And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? And then he said, all right, Lord, here I am. Here am I. Send me. And I heard the voice of, and he said, well, okay, then go and tell this people how much I love them and how much I want to bless them and how much I want to do whatever I can to make their lives better. Is that what he tells them to say? No. No, he said, go tell the people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but you don't get it. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. He said, oh Lord, how long? And he answered, till the cities be wasted with inhabitants, without inhabitants, and houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. The Lord hath removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in this it yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, shall be eaten, and as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. He said, you go tell them the word, you go tell them for me, Isaiah, and you thin that herd for me, will you, brother? Says, you go out there and you deliver the truth to them and let them know that there's devastation coming. There ain't no bless me Jesus here, fellas. There ain't no fat little plump little angel sitting on the doorpost, sitting on the windowsill, flapping his fat little wings. No. Acts verse 4. Hey, I'm serious today. I'm serious as a judge today. I'm going to give you a challenge. Read the first six chapters of Acts. And if you go through the first six chapters of Acts, I want you to underline, maybe I'll do this tomorrow, I want you to underline how many times the term boldness is used, or bold. Because you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses into Jerusalem and to Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world. And if you take this and you think about this logically, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to go first to your hometown, Jerusalem. You're going to be a witness in Jerusalem. And after you witness in Jerusalem, then you can go to another town, Judea. And then after you get through doing that, and you've witnessed in Jerusalem, and you've witnessed around the larger area, then you can go to Guatemala. But don't you dare go to Guatemala if you ain't been to downtown Columbus. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that. See, do you think I'm lying? Do you think I'm making this up? It's right there. Jerusalem, Judea, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. We want to go to the uttermost parts of the world. Do you know that there are... Listen, I'm just going to tell you the daggone truth. There are more lost people in America than Guatemala. There are more lost people in America than Haiti. There are more lost people in America than China. Well, that's not. There are a lot of people in China. Why do you have to go to Guatemala or Africa when they're lost in your high school right in your local school. Your government's lost. Your mayor's lost. You want to go down and impact some guy down in Haiti? Weather's pretty nice down there, by the way. Am I doing okay this morning, Josh? I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you, too. Oh, I want to end abortion. Oh, I want to end abortion. Really? When's the last time you went to Jerusalem? What? Yeah, right down to that abortion clinic down your neighborhood. When you last been down there? Oh, I can't do that. I would, but we got to go to Guatemala here this week. Acts chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came up with them. So these guys start sharing the gospel. The kingdom of God. And who shows up? Yeah, you know, the religious folks. The same religious folks in your church are going to try to calm you down, put you in a box. They always show up. And being grieved that they taught the people, look at that! Hey, Rich, did you read that? These dudes show up, and why are they mad? They taught the people. And preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Who shows up? The religious folk. And they laid hands on him. That means they grabbed him. We're not talking about laying hands on him and praying for him here. They laid hands on him and put him in a hold until the next day. And locked him up. For it was now evening tide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. How about that, Roger? These dudes got arrested, but in the meantime, many who had heard the word believed. How many people are around you that maybe would believe if they heard the word? Maybe they'd believe. But we're convinced that they won't believe, or we're convinced that we're not supposed to do it, or we're convinced we got to bring them to our church. Got to learn to chum. Verse 4, how many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. One day, they caught 5,000 fish in one day. Hey, dudes are really mad now. Now they're really mad. And it came to pass on that next day that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. All the religious folks got together. All the big name pastors. They're ticked. But the Salt and Light Brigade first century. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, what are you guys doing? By what power or by what name have you done this? Do you have a degree from Kentucky Mountain Bible College? By what authority are you guys out here doing this? Are you ordained? Do you have government licensure? Do you have government approval to be here? Somebody say amen. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, hey, dudes, you rulers of the people and elders of the church, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you boys and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, hey dudes, whom you crucified, poked him in the eye, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. And this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. In other words, get out of the way, boys. There's a new sheriff in town, boys. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You guys know who he's talking to? He's talking to the big dude pastors in town. This old Peter. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Lost myself here. Oh, here we go. 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, how about that? Holy Spirit, boldness. They're brother and sister. Oops, they're brother and brother. They're husband and wife. Holy Spirit and boldness. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that these were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them. Uh-oh, watch this. That they had been with Jesus. See, when you're with Jesus, other people are going to see it. They recognize it. Easy, criminy, transference of spirits. These guys are now acting like the guy we crucified. Oh, what have we done here? They had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside, get outside, he said to those guys. And then they started to confer among themselves, saying, what are we going to do with these guys? For that, indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them. It's obvious to all that dwell in Jerusalem. We can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So they're being politically correct here. Say, okay, listen, we can't deny something's going on here, but hey, we got to nip it now. Listen, you go to Peter and see if he'll be an usher. Go to John, see if we can get him to do Sunday school. We got to get them on board and get them. They got to quit doing this Jesus thing. But that is spread. Okay, 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Is that today, boys? Is that what's going on today? You can say God all you want to, but don't you bring up that J word. Don't you bring up that J word. But Peter and John answered unto them and said, hey, boys, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge of that. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, whom this miracle of healing was upon. And being let go, they went out
back in
to their own Salt and Light Brigade, their own company, and reported to everybody what the chief priests and elders had said unto him. And when those boys heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, ha, Lord, thou art God, and hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Psalm 2. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ for a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we might speak your word. Anybody's heart beating fast? You understand they're not giving them the four spiritual laws. They're not trying to lead them to Jesus. They're standing up and they're speaking the truth. And they're letting the chips fall wherever they may. They are doing a serious job of separating here. And they went to those in authority and they stood eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe with them and said, when those Sadducees and the Pharisees said to him, by what authority are you doing this? They turned the tables on him, didn't they? Couldn't even do anything about it. That's the Holy Ghost that's supposed to be dwelling inside each of us, boys. These guys right here turned the world upside down.
Hey, Dave.
Jump in here, yeah.
That's the same Peter, that same boldness. When the Romans came for Jesus, Peter was ready to fight for his king. It was Jesus who said, back down. Now,
that's right.
But Peter was ready. He drew the sword, and he said, I'm ready to fight for you.
That's right. That's right. Now think about this. He drew the sword against the cops. What normally would happen in a situation like that? Right? And isn't it like the Lord to always be there and pull you back when you need to be pulled back? Now that same spirit that Jesus used to pull back Peter, say, hang on, Peter, don't do that. Don't do that here. It's the same spirit that's dwelling inside you today. And that Holy Spirit is available to you today to draw you back and to propel you forward, to do both. And he said to Isaiah, who's going to go out there and going to tell all those guys the truth for me? Anybody here to go do that? Isaiah said, yeah, here, I'll do it, Lord. Go ahead, Lord. Send me, I'll go. I'll go. Is that the message of today's church? Hey, Larry, have we gone so far in Reformation that now we're back to Sadducees and Pharisees being the leaders of the body of Christ?
Absolutely. We've missed the boat.
We've gone full circle, haven't we?
Yeah, well, I think the church jumped off the ship, didn't even hit the lifeboats. They're floundering out in the ocean.
I know this from Dallas. I think I told you guys this yesterday, but I'm going to say it anyway. It was so powerful what when Russ Dizdar got through speaking on Saturday night, he did an altar call. He was preparing to do an altar call. And I don't like altar calls, to be honest with you. I don't like them. Come to Jesus and receive Jesus. I don't like them. But that wasn't kind of altar call Russ was given. And so we immediately sprang into action with the Salt and Light Brigade, and our guys got up out of the chairs in a crowd of 700 people and walked forward and stood in front of the altar. And when the people came forward, God's provision was already waiting on them. And some came to Rich, and he prayed for him. Some came to Josh, and he prayed for him. Some came to George, and he prayed for him. Some came to Chad, and he prayed for him. They came to the ignorant and unlearned. You understand? You hear what I'm saying? They came to the ignorant and unlearned and saw the power of Jesus flow, not through Russ Dizdar, although it did, but through the ignorant and unlearned. And the message went across that place, because I heard from him afterwards. People couldn't believe that just regular old guys could go up there and pray for people. But see, they weren't regular old guys. It was Big Rich, filled with the Holy Spirit. It was Robert, filled with the Holy Spirit. It was Josh, filled with the Holy Spirit. It was Sarge, filled with the Holy Spirit. With boldness. Had you ever done anything like that before, Rich?
No. First time for me. Can't wait to do it again.
And the Lord put a demand on your faith, didn't he, Rich? And you looked around and said, well, here I am, Lord. Send me up. Me? Go up there. Yep, you going up there. Why? Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's why. And somebody's been telling you you can't do it and you're not important and it don't matter. So, Rich, you sit back here and we'll let Dizdar do the – we'll let Russ Dizdar and all the pastors come up and pray for people. No. Ignorant and unlearned men came up and did it. It was a great blessing. What was your reaction, George?
Man, I tell you, it was powerful. You know, it's funny you say that because this morning I woke up and I told my wife, I told her about how we prayed at the altar for people. And I said, man, how humbling it was. I said, I'm nothing and us men are nothing, but Jesus used us just because we're willing and obedient and we're filled with the Spirit.
Amen. And the Spirit propelled you, and the Spirit gave you the words. And so you never prayed for anybody like that in an environment like that. And nobody got slain in the Spirit. Nobody fell out and dropped all over the floor. And no gold dust fell from heaven or anything. But there you were, filled with the Holy Spirit, available to meet the needs of those who came. Sarge, what was your reaction? Before or after? Because you hung around a bit afterwards. Sarge was there all day on, Sunday night and Monday, part of Monday.
I can't believe I froze up.
Are you? He froze up. Are you there, Sarge? His big moment, and his computer freezes up on him. What's the point? Josh, what was your reaction, Josh? Let's see if your computer's unfrozen there.
Well, it was – my reaction was great. I got to pray with my brother Jason, and I hope he's watching right now. Jason, we're just still praying for you and just believing victory for you, brother. And the point to that is – ignorant and unlearned men, man, I ain't special. And the whole time I was praying, I was like, man, I feel stupid right now because I don't got the slick tongue.
Amen.
And so I'm praying with Jason, and after he goes, man, God really speaks. And he was referring to God speaking through me when I was praying with him. And so here I am thinking I'm ignorant and unlearned.
And you are.
Right. And he's saying that God was speaking. And I just want to – that was awesome.
Because the Lord uses the ignorant and unlearned. We just saw that, didn't we?
Yeah.
The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't know what to do. They had no answer but the ignorant and the unlearned. And when the ignorant and unlearned began to minister, what was the result? 5,000 in one day. Go ahead, Sergeant, now that you're back connected there, bud.
Yeah, thanks. You wouldn't believe the number of comments of people that just came up and said it was just so heartening to see just regular people come up there and pray with others. And if there was anything that we did for our own Salt and Light Brigade is I think we have a very sure commitment from the hosts, Mike and Jeannie, for the brigade to be doing exactly what we did this weekend at all the Hear the Watchmen, because it's the component that was sort of somewhat there the first Dallas session and a little bit in Knoxville, but it took us a couple of opportunities to really understand that the hunger for the spiritual component is so great because all these people have left denominational churches and they just need common folk like us to be able to assure to them that they're not alone. And I think that's really critical. And I think that's why God puts the people in the venues that he did to do all this for us. So you're right. We're going to continue to grow in between these events because I think us, the brigade, can be the conduit to help that grow.
Chad, if you're listening, go ahead and call me on my cell phone. I want to try to get a reaction from you here. Here's the point. It put a demand on your faith, didn't it, Rich? George? It put a demand on your faith. And I'm thinking right now, how many churches across America filled with men would men be able to do what you guys did on Saturday night?
Hell no.
Hell no. That's right. Isn't that sad? Doesn't that alone tell you something? It ought to break us. It's Chad, so he must be listening. Let me get him on here. So, Chad, I was just talking to the guys here about the experience of going forward and ignorant and unlearned men like you and me and Rich and all of us. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty if they weren't there. What was your reaction, Chad?
Well, I was I just let it all hang out. I didn't know what I was going to say or do at the altar call. I didn't know how I was going to handle anything. But everybody that came to me was already something that I already had happened to me in my life. You think that was by accident? So I think, look, God's not going to give us any more than we can handle. So we didn't go boldly. And I think the fact that we didn't hesitate. We just went on up there and God empowered us. And he was with us. That's what I think.
And made a demand on you. Hey, Glenn, I saw you trying to call in. I'm going to hang up with Chad here, Glenn. Call right back in. It made a demand on your faith, man. It made a demand on your faith. So, Glenn, I just cleared the line. Go ahead and call back in here. It blessed me. It blessed me to watch it. Robert, I know that you're listening. I don't know if you're listening live or not, Robert. I saw you sitting over in that chair on that front row. I saw the group you had around you, the people that you were praying for. Bless my heart, brother. Just think how many times and how long. Go ahead, Glenn, give me a call back. Think how many times people told you that you weren't up to it and you didn't fit the image and you weren't the right guy and you're just ignorant and unlearned. If we can figure out a way that we can find more ignorant and unlearned people who have the boldness of the Holy Spirit upon them, maybe we can do something to transform this country. Maybe we can get this thing back on course. I feel bad. Glenn was calling in. I feel bad because I hardly mentioned Glenn here much. Glenn was there the whole daggone time. His wife Corinne, they were there the whole time. And Glenn was probably calling to testify here, and I didn't get him in. And that's not it. Where is it? I'm going to call him. Let's try it, Glenn. See if I can get you in here. Foolish and unlearned. Yeah, Glenn's probably trying to call us back in here. Somebody jump in here. Yeah, Raj.
Powerful. Peter and John, the foolish and unlearned, and 5,000 come. I've never heard that baby preached.
Nope. Not only that, you've never seen or had it talked about the boldness of the Holy Spirit to Jerusalem and Judea and to the othermost parts of the world. We live in this culture and this society where the average man in church does not know how to share his faith, doesn't know if he should. And if he does think he should, he's too damn scared to do it. And we wonder why the devil's kids, the Bible tells us that the righteous are as bold as lions. And we look around us, and it's the devil's kids that are bold. And we wonder why the devil's winning. Who's evangelizing who? The devil's kids are doing all the evangelism, and God's kids ain't doing any of it. I'm just telling you the truth, okay?
Okay, Coach, Glenn's going to call your phone. I explained to him that my backup cell phone that I'm having to use now just doesn't do it.
Okay, cool. Because he called here before, but it was beeping in the same time that Chad was doing. So hopefully Glenn will get in a hurry because we're running near the end.
Coach, you know, you mentioned a couple of times about if men brought up such ideas and took such bold steps in their local congregations of most of those churches, things calling themselves churches out there today, that they would be instantly put down and trying to re-educate them to think more like women or whatever. But here's the thing. Right there, you finish reading through chapter 4 of Acts and going into chapter 5 of Acts. It's all part of the same scenario there, when at the end of it, in chapter 5 of Acts, is when Gamaliel, everybody might remember that name, he was a Pharisee, I believe, that told the other guys, said, hey, if this is a God, you can't stop it.
That's right.
And says, so don't try.
Yep.
And, you know, that was in the situation of a bunch of unsaved, basically anti-Jesus people.
Bloodthirsty, brother. Bloodthirsty.
Trying to put down the real church.
They were the never Jesus crowd.
That advice came from an unsaved religious leader to a bunch of unsaved religious guys trying to do harm to the gospel and the people of God. And people today in the churches, if they don't do the feminization thing, they use that advice from an unsaved man to unsaved people about, they say, this guy thinks he has a new ministry. Let's just sit back and watch.
Yep.
If it's of God, it's going to prosper.
Yep.
Not even in the scenario or in the context that Gamaliel gave his advice. And let's look at it logically. If every good Christian thought that advice was right, then no ministry ever would prosper, because everybody would be sitting back waiting for it to prosper before they started doing anything.
Larry, I'm running short on time. I'm going to say this. I was debating. I tried to get a hold of Glenn. I'm sorry, Glenn. I'm going to tell you something. When I went through my mess at London and I stopped teaching and coaching and I went full-time ministry, can I tell you the truth? You listening to me? Wouldn't one pastor help me? They wouldn't help me. They wouldn't help me build a ministry. They wouldn't help me. They're jealous. Didn't know what to do with me. Football coach, I'd find that rebel. I had that guy on our team that just was just wild and crazy. I found some place to play him. Sometimes it was a special teams running down on the kickoff. I found a place to, hey, Rich, they wanted to turn me into a sissy. They wanted to They wanted to put me in the back room, make me an usher. They wanted me to go out and stand in the parking lot and park cars. Anything they can do to get me away from any place where I might have some influence. So I'm speaking to some hearts out there. We're out of time. Speaking to some hearts out there right now. Don't you let them do that to you. There's a call upon your life, and you have an anointing, and you have a gifting, and don't you let some six-foot icicle stand in the pulpit and tell you that your call is not your call. And more than anything in my whole life, I want to help you walk out the walk that the Lord has called you to take. All right? Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high that royal banner, must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. God bless you guys. Go change the world. See you tomorrow.